title of the message today is Experiencing His Promises. And God wants us to go from just fact and faith to experience. And so we're going to begin with Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16. And I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation because it really presents it in our language that is easy for us to understand. Now, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. How many have a living will? So you understand, right, how that works? In verse 28, it says, so also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that, Lord, you will open our eyes, our hearts, our understanding today. Holy Spirit, take the things of Jesus, reveal them to us, sow them into our hearts with understanding. Transform our minds, Lord, and produce the fruit of righteousness in our lives, Lord, as we yield to your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the will? How many know we've talked much about what God's will? What is a will? A will, it's a promise of an inheritance, right, to those who receive it. If, some of you know you've received the benefits of a will. And some of you are probably hoping that things will hurry up so you can get that will. I was just saying what you were thinking. No, I was. You can tell when I'm getting in trouble because my mouth is moving. But you know, there are things that we look forward to, we wait for. God has a plan. He has something that's so precious for you and I. And how many know that His will is not something that we have to wait for now? The will of God is already in effect. Why is that? Because of the death of the testator. Because Jesus is the one who wrote the will. Are you with me? He's the Word. And when he died, the will went into effect. And what is he willing to us, folks? He is willing the kingdom to you and to me. It makes your Father happy. It brings pleasure to your Father to give you, his sons and his daughters, the kingdom. So often, we are waiting for the pie in the sky and the great by and by, and we're not receiving the benefits of what's already freely given to us in Christ in the here and now. We think that, you know, God just saved us so that we can flounder and survive, you know, on an IV drip of just, you know, just getting by in this world and waiting for the rapture to come so we can get out of here. How many know that Jesus meant what he said when he said, I came that you might have life? He wasn't talking about dying and going to heaven. He's talking about right here and now. Life and life more abundantly. He wants his people to experience him. Experience his life. So Jesus made the will. He's died for us already. Amen. He paid the price for our sins. He has placed his promise under our name. All he has promised. Do you know that everything that the Father promised to the Son, he is sharing with his people? Are we not joint heirs? Jesus did it for us. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Lest we should boast about our accomplishments, Jesus paid it all. He accomplished it all. He did for us what we could not do. We could not be good enough. We could not be holy enough. We could not forgive our own sins. Amen? He went to the cross and paid the price. And the will was sealed, what? In His own blood. And the will is right now, here and now, in effect. And we have been given license by the blood of Jesus to come to the Father and to receive the blessings, amen, the mercy and the grace that we have need of. For God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. This is not my word, this is His word. It's His promise. God is a promise keeper. How many know it's not enough just to know the facts? We're good at facts and figures and knowing what God says and knowing the Word, and we're so educated. But you got to get beyond the theory and you got to get beyond the facts. We can know the facts, but yet not receive the benefit of the fact. Are you with me? You can have all kinds of facts staring at you, and the fact is that there are many blessings that God is lavishing upon His church, but the church has to know how to receive. He didn't say you need to know how to earn, but you need to know how to receive. Because as soon as we think that we're going to earn, it's wages, it's no longer grace, it's works. How many know it's not enough just to know the facts? Folks, listen, the facts need to become our experience. How many know God wants us to experience Him? Not just learn about Him, but know Him. He wants to reveal Himself. Jesus said in Luke 12 and 31, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And He will give you everything you need. It didn't say seek after your needs. He said seek the kingdom of God above everything else. And He will give you what you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's happiness, great happiness, to give you the kingdom. Now in context, He was talking about worrying about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, you know, your daily lives. And sometimes we can get caught up into that, you know, of just worrying about the future and the way things are looking in the economy and the threats and the rumors of war and all these things going on around us. Jesus is saying, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You keep your eyes on your Father. Amen. Keep your eyes on Me. Yes. Seek the kingdom above everything else. Let that be your passion, your priority, is the kingdom of God. The will of God. What is the will? The will is now in force. Amen. It is now active and available for you and I to receive the resources of His eternal kingdom into the now. I know sometimes that theology has got us in a place where we're just working on us all the time, trying to fix ourselves, trying to patch ourselves up, trying to do a little better every day. Are you with me? All about me doing it. Me this, me that, right? And God is just saying, you guys are stressed out. Come unto Me. Take My yoke upon you. Amen. Hook up with Me. Abide in Me. Get into My presence. And when you're with Me and we're walking this thing out, you're going to find My yoke is easy and My burden's light. And you're going to find rest for your soul. Not worried about the future. Not anxious about anything. But in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. God has everything that we have need of. But the way to receive what we need is to seek His kingdom. above all else. Sometimes we're not getting that right, folks. Are you with me? We're exhausting ourselves. We're working ourselves. We're stressing ourselves about, you know, how are we going to do it? How are we going to make it? And you know, sometimes worry itself will drain you, will make you tired, will exhaust you. Why do we worry about the things that we have no control over in the first place? He's got the whole world. God's not up in heaven freaking out, you know, saying, look what's happening on the earth. He's sovereign. He's Lord of all. He has all authority. You and I are in the palm of his hand. He can take care of us. And once again, the fact is what we need to first understand. And that is that the will is in effect and that God wants to share his kingdom with you. He wants you to enjoy the benefits of what he purchased for you. His bride, his people. Come on. How many know your soul should be prospering in the Lord? How many know that true prosperity is prosperity, amen, in the eternal kingdom of our God? And if God wants to bless you financially, well, praise God. But you know, to whom much is given, much is required. But when your heart is full of his love and full of him, amen, then you find what life really is. He is life. He is life and peace. To have an inheritance is one thing. To enjoy the inheritance is quite another. See, most of us can talk all about the inheritance. We've studied, we've read, we've heard the tapes. We've sat under lots of teaching and learned about the blessings, the promises of God. How many know that we have need of peace? We have need of love and joy, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, right, self-control, all the good fruits of who God is. And we hear about the promises that God's going to provide, God's going to protect, God's going to take care of things. God's going to take care of the future as well. He's God of the past. He's God of the future. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And why are we worried when we're in the very palm of our Father's hand? How many know that Jesus never lies? If that's what Jesus said, that's what I'm going to believe. No matter what happens to us, folks, you're still in the palm of his hand. It's not like God doesn't know what's going on. What God is trying to let you do is just lean back in his arms and let go and trust him and know he's going to work it all together for good. Because you love him. And why do you love him? Because you have been loved on by him. Because you have experienced his love, and therefore you will love God. We have an inheritance. And folks, it's not because of anything that we have done. We got to get that straight. Because most of us are in a mode of, if I do this, and God will do that. There are conditional promises, but everything has been purchased already for us in Christ. Jesus paid it all, and everything that we have need of is freely given. Freely given. It's not earned, but it's freely given. And by faith, we need to call that in that is in heaven into the now and here. Faith is you and I acknowledging that what God has said and done is true. We have the facts, amen, of what God has done and made available to us, such as healing. But faith is acknowledging that what God has said and already done is true. I believe. Faith is believing God, believing his word. But folks, let me tell you that faith being alone is what? Dead. See, this is, sometimes we don't know how to go beyond faith to experience. We have facts, and then we have faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. We have to have faith. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith, what? It is impossible to please Him, to please God. For those who come to God must believe what? That He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God wants to give you the kingdom. So faith is believing God. It is you and I acknowledging that what God has said and done is true. Faith is the confidence, in Hebrews 11:1, that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. See, this is faith. We're talking about faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in what God promises. Faith in the fact that God's will, amen, is in effect now. Because Jesus, the writer, has died and sealed it in His blood. And when Jesus died, it says that the veil in the temple was rent in two. The way into the most holy has been what? Opened. It's not in the sweet by and by. It's now by faith we have access into this grace in which we stand. And it's about receiving what God has already freely given and bringing it into our experience. We've got to go beyond faith into experience. Because faith by itself cannot save you or help you. People are constantly learning about faith. What is faith? Faith, faith, this, faith, that. Are you with me? But it's not faith or living faith until it's experiential. It's something that we are to live out. It's something we are to walk in and experience here and now, and not something that we're just hoping. Hope is a whole different term altogether. Hope is for in that which is yet to come. Amen? But faith is going inside, beyond the veil, into the holy place and receiving the treasure that has been freely given to us in Christ. Why? Because we are joint heirs. We are children of God. Amen? Because we have received Him and He has received us because of the payment of Jesus' blood. We can now come with confidence to the throne of grace and receive everything that we have need of. Whew. James 2:17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well, even the demons believe and tremble. You see, there are a lot of people that just think it's just some intellectual thing that, oh, I believe in God. I believe in the promises. Yeah, I believe what the Bible says. Are you with me? I believe what the Bible says. But the intellect cannot receive the things of God. Are you with me? The natural man cannot understand those things. The intellect has to come under the authority of the Holy Spirit, who then reveals the heart of God to us. And so James is saying, it's more than just an intellectual assent to something here. He's saying even the demons believe that God exists. And they tremble. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Faith has to translate into our experience in order to be living faith. Yeah. We're not putting faith in faith. We're putting faith in God, and faith in God will produce results. Folks, I want to live a life, and I know you do too, of experience. I want to be experiencing God. Amen? I want to know what true intimacy with God is. I want to know the promises and I want to receive the promises. I don't want to just talk about it, sing about it, preach about it, think about it. I want to receive what God has freely given to me, that He's made freely available through His sacrifice, through the blood. We may enter into His brightness. Amen. Into His presence. We've got to move beyond knowing and believing to receiving what God promises. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So first thing is what? We've got to grow in our knowledge. You've got to get the facts. You do need to know what God has freely given, right? Okay. And verse 3, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. Whatever we received, everything we need, we have received all of this by coming to know Him. So it's not about knowing about Him, but as we're coming to know Him, we are beginning to experience Him. And the promises of God are become a reality. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to listen, to share His divine nature. Do you see that? God wants you to share His divine nature and to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Who's He talking to? He's talking to those who have been born again. Amen? Those who are born of God's Spirit. Everything we need, all of these great and precious promises, they are facts. But unless they become our experience, they remain just that, facts. To the Pharisees, Jesus says, you know, you guys are ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are what speak of Me. And you know, that's true today. Nothing is new under the sun. There are many people that are so educated, and they've got so much knowledge, and yet they don't have the reality, the experience of that knowledge. It's just facts that are stored up in the brain. We've got to go beyond that. Here's an example. You and I, Lord willing, we'll have money in our bank account. Yeah, fact. Even if it's a dollar, you could have a dollar, keep it open, right? Fact is you have money in your account. Or like I remember the man in Tacoma who had died and he lived like a pauper and he had just thousands and thousands of dollars stuffed under his mattress. He had all that money. But he was not enjoying the benefit of the money. Are you with me? So it is that we may have money in our account, but faith is withdrawing the money. By faith, we can access what God has freely made available to us. Faith is the withdrawal. By faith, I believe. Experience is you spending the money. The experience is you enjoying the benefits of the money. Are you with me? Has anybody ever found some enjoyment in having some money? In case you're thinking I'm a little off here, I think we can all say money can be a good thing, right? As long as it doesn't have us. As long as we're not worshiping it. We love God. Amen. But I'm using this as an example so we can help understand this. Now, Hosea 4:6, you know, the Lord is speaking to the prophet. And because of the lack of knowledge, because people didn't even know what the facts were, just the facts, they were perishing. If we don't know what is true, then we fall for lies. We live lies. So God gives us the revelation of truth. This is My way. These are My precepts. These are My principles. This is how you are to live your life. If we don't know what they are, then certainly we won't know how to live them out, right? If we don't know what the facts are, then we don't know what to put faith in. And sometimes people, they don't even have the facts, so they're not going to be able to put faith in anything because they have nothing to draw on. So God is saying, listen, the will is in place. I've given you access to my throne of grace. You're an heir of the kingdom. Everything that you have need of that pertains to life and godliness is freely given to you in Christ Jesus. And now, by believing what I promised you, you can come and say, Father, I believe. I believe that you are my provider. And I believe, just like you said in your word, Lord, that if I put your kingdom above everything else, we've got to get this right, above everything else, then I will be able to receive the benefits of the kingdom. And that means he'll take care of my needs. People perish because they don't know who they are. They don't know what's freely given to them in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, because of God the Father, who became for us. Jesus became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The New Living Translation puts it this way. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy. He freed us from sin. Why? Because we were not able to purchase our own redemption, our own salvation. Jesus did it for us. And he has placed before us an open door, an open heaven, and saying, by faith, you make the withdrawal now. Are you with me? How many want to withdraw something from your account? Anybody have any needs? How about our daily need of grace? Daily provision of his grace. Thank God that we have access to him. Amen? That we can receive everything that we have need of from him. But if we don't believe, you're not going to receive. You can know that God is there. And you might even believe in the fact that maybe God is good. Yeah, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But my faith has to go beyond just an intellectual assent to I'm going to approach him and I'm going to receive from him, because I believe that he really meant what he said when he says it's your Father's good pleasure. It makes your Father very happy to give you the kingdom. Because we look at ourselves and say, who, me? Yeah, you. God knows me in my weakness. God knows me when I fail. God knows me when I'm unfaithful or I'm unbelieving. God still loves me. God still made provision for me. The problem is, and the reason why we're messed up with unbelief often, is because we're not accessing what he has given us. It's called his grace. Even to believe, how many know it is by the grace of God that God releases the faith of God so that we can move mountains in our lives? It's not of us, it's of him. It's all about Christ and his provision that flows freely to a people that he has covered with his blood, he has redeemed, and he's brought into a place where now we can access him, not because we worked hard enough, but because God is gracious. Because God is merciful to us. Truth be known, none of us would have any hope if it wasn't for the mercy of God. Because we cannot save ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. It's one thing to know what God has done for us and given to us. It's quite another to experience it. So we can know what God has done for us, and we can even know what he's given to us, but it's another thing to experience that. You can have the faith, okay, faith in what? In the fact, but it has to go from fact to what? Experience. To be living. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because it's the only way that we can access him. The only way we can come before Father is believing that Father's word is a good word, that is a true word, and I can believe what he says. You should be saying amen right there. How many know that God wants to be believed? And we limit what God wants to release in our lives because we doubt what God says. It was the blind man that said, Lord, help my unbelief. Crippled man. Have you ever prayed that prayer, Lord, help my unbelief? Anybody ever struggle with unbelief before? You see, even for us to believe, we need the grace of God. Everything is because of the grace of God in a Christian life. Why? Because He's the sum total of everything that we have need of. God gives us Himself. He gives us His presence. He gives us Christ. Sometimes we're asking God for stuff. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Even like gifts, like, God, give me that gift, give me that gift, give me that gift. It's like, no, how about when you have Jesus, you have everything, you have the full package. How about seeking His face and not His hand? When you seek His kingdom above everything else, He said, I'll take care of the things that you have need of. As a matter of fact, as long as we're seeking Him, how many know you're not going to be stressed out over your problems and your needs? Why? Because you're going to be full of the glory of God. There's going to be a supernatural peace that passes all understanding. Because our understanding looks at our situation and say, it's hopeless, it's too big, it's too bad, it's too beyond, it's too impossible. But faith is God saying, you know, listen, I've already taken care of that. Why are you stressing out about stuff that I've got it under? You're right here. I got you right there. And I never took my eye off you. His eye is on the sparrow, right? Even a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground apart from your Father's will. The very hairs on your head are numbered, you know. He knows all about it. Trust me. He's saying, trust me. Believe me and you will see. Seek my kingdom above everything else, and everything you need will be added to you. Folks, if God decides to take us out of here, if God decides to take me out of here, you know, I'm His. He can decide what He wants to do with me whenever He wants to. Amen? I don't have to worry about man touching me. Why? I'm in the palm of my Father's hand. I'm not going to fear man. I'm going to fear God in the sense I'm going to reverence and respect Him. Highly respect Him. I belong to Him. I'm His property. Even if people judge me, it doesn't really matter, because what matters is that my heart is right with my Father. Because people judge by appearance, and they misjudge often our lives. They assume things, you know, are you right? If God wills, we will live and we will go and do this or we will do that. Now, I'm going to go this, do this, and this, and this. No, if God wills, we shall live and do this or that. We don't know what is on the morrow, do we? We don't know what tomorrow holds. This one thing I do know is that I need to seek the kingdom of God above everything else. That is my goal, is to seek God. Amen? Seek His kingdom. To live for the King. And as I take care of His divine business, how many know God is big enough to take care of your natural business? Your substance, the stuff that you need of, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. God takes care of it. Now I want you to look at this with me. Luke chapter 15. Remember the prodigal son. Now we focus on the father and we focus on the son. But I want us to take a look at the older brother here. Take a look at the older brother. In verse 25, Luke 15, verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. In verse 28, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, listen, verse 31, look at this. You are always with me, and all that I have is yours. If we don't catch this, folks, we'll miss it. You are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Back up to verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. How many know it's not by works, but by grace? God is good to all who trust him, who call upon him. The older son had everything. He's always been with the Father. He had access to everything the Father had. At any time, he could have received the benefits of what the Father had. But he lived, if you will, like a pauper in the kingdom. Because it was all by wages. It was by performance that somehow he was going to merit something. And here this son, who did nothing but lived like a jerk, comes home and he's having a party for him. How unreasonable! God's good! God is merciful, he's gracious! He was just happy because he loves his son, and he came home. And he loves his older son too, and he said, son, listen! I've always been with you, you've always been here, everything I have is yours! Enjoy! Enjoy what's yours! He was in the will. He was in the kingdom. He was in the benefit of what was purchased. Are you hearing it today? It was right, he said in verse 32, that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Here's the Father's love, isn't it? Folks, I said it before, but I don't want to just hear about what I have in Christ. I don't want to just learn continually about what is freely given to me. I don't want to just know the facts. I want the facts to become my experience. I want to receive what the Father is freely given to me here and now. When we receive the impartation of the grace of God, then we will have something that we can spend in this world, are you with me, that we can invest in this world that's going to have everlasting fruit. How are we able to bear fruit? By abiding in the vine, amen? By receiving the grace of God. And as we receive and it becomes our experience, then those around us will experience God too through the experience that we have. Through the word of our testimony, what God did then, he can do now for them. Releasing the same grace into the now. Thank you, Jesus. God has placed us in an exalted position in Christ. Through our union with him. Folks, we live like paupers sometimes spiritually. When we're sons of the kingdom and the Father's saying, here, it's yours. There's a huge bank account. He says, draw by faith and bring it into your experience. Everything that you have need of to glorify the Father is available. That's what we want to do. We want to glorify the Father. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Fruit is impossible apart from abiding in him. The tree doesn't have to force fruit at what? It just bears fruit because it's planted in the house of Adonai. It's planted in the house of the Lord. It's planted in Christ. And we are receiving the benefits now of the will that is now in effect as we have been given access through the veil, amen, into the Holy of Holies. If we believe, we will receive. The devil lies and he says, God doesn't hear you because you're this and you're that. Listen, how you lived your life before. God's going to keep you down here as a pauper. And you're just going to have to scratch and beg. And maybe he'll do something good for you. Baloney. That was real anointed right there. Because all he has to work with is unbelief. All he has to do is try to talk you out of what God says is yours. He's messing with our heads all the time to try to get us to doubt what God has said is true. And there's a fight for that, amen, for that battleground of believing God or believing the lie. Because you and I are sons and daughters, we are under our Father's authority. And being under His authority means that there are some things that we're going to think we are entitled to that we're not. We're going to try to name and claim some things that God says is not for you, son. Maybe not at all or not right now, because He's a wise Father. Are you with me? But there is a treasure in the heavens. Amen? There is a bank account that is open to His kids because you're an heir, a joint heir with Jesus. To as many as received Him, John 1:12, to them He gave the authority, the exousia, the right to become the sons of God. So that what Jesus purchased for us becomes ours. Everything that Jesus purchased is ours. Are you with me? And it's His desire and it's His will that this would be shared with us, His body, His bride. How many of you husbands here want to do the best for your wife? You want your wife to have the best, right? Come on. When you, Jesus and I came into covenant, everything I have, what little there is, became hers. And everything she has, what, was mine. We're joint heirs with Jesus. When Jesus died, we died. When He rose, we rose. How do I know that? The Word of God is our authority in Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, not because of wages, amen, but because of God's mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. What did He do? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we can be like that older brother in the kingdom. Upset because somebody else is getting blessed. God, I've been living such a righteous life. I've been working so hard for You. And here's this Johnny come lately. He's a scumbag. Just scraped him off the street. And now you're blessing him. God's saying, open your eyes and look around. It's all yours. Why are you worried about your brother? Shouldn't we be good? Aren't you glad that he came home? You should be happy and rejoicing with us that your brother was lost and is found, was dead and is alive again. Said, everything I have is yours. You've always been with me. You have access. I'm enjoying this, are you? Am I speaking the truth today? Thank you, Jesus. And He raised us up together, verse 6, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God wants to give us the kingdom. We're not going to get the full thing, the full inheritance now, but folks, I want you to know that what you have need of, God has already given you. It's freely available. Come and get it. Amen. You don't have to stand outside the door and say, pew, pew, Dad, can I come in? I'm cold and I'm hungry. No, you ain't good enough. You stay out there and shiver and starve. No? Oh, it's the Father who said, I'm going to put the royal robe on you. Amen. A turban and a ring on your, and sandals on your feet. You're a son. You don't have to stand outside the door and beg. You come right on in. You know where the refrigerator's at. Go for it. Help yourself. You don't come in the door. How many were kids and say, can I get something out of the refrigerator? I mean, if it was a healthy home, it's probably, it was, unless you had a bunch of teenagers. You would come right in the door and you go for it. Do you see, God is telling us, you need to just go for what I've already given you. It's yours. Not because you're so good, but because He's good, He's gracious, and He's qualified us to be a partaker of His holiness. He's clothed us in His righteousness, and therefore we can come with confidence based upon what He promised and not upon my performance and how well I did today. When I'm focusing on how well I'm doing, I lose grace. I do fail. When I'm focusing on His goodness and what He's done, I have all the grace I need. I can live a life of victory. Are you with me? I can live victoriously over sin when I'm focusing on Him and not on myself as being righteous. In Galatians 4, almost finished. Galatians 4, 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Remember, a few months ago, we did the message, Overcoming the Slave Mentality. You know, we were slaves to sin, and we come into covenant, and we have to overcome that mentality of a slave. Because, unfortunately, sometimes we live like we're still slaves, and God said, no, you've been set free from sin. You're no longer a slave to it. Walk in your newfound freedom that I purchased for you, that I made available. You couldn't do it, I did it. And so here, you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Wow. God has set us on high. You can't set yourself on high, but God can set you on high. And that's what He did in Christ. And so don't live below who you are. The Lord has left us a will. This will is now in effect. So let us come to Him and make the withdrawal. Let us come with confidence to draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So if you need salvation, receive Him today. If you need forgiveness, receive Him today. If you need deliverance, receive from Him today. If you need the victory, receive from Him today. If you need strength, receive from Him today. If you need healing, receive from Him today. Whatever you have need of, receive from Him today. The grace of God is freely available now here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is among you here and now. Come in confidence to what God has promised and receive. Amen. Bring that fact into your experience. By faith, you make the withdrawal. Amen. Oh, yeah. There's a witness right now, the Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely.